Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Hindi Mendelowitz, and this week is Parshat Yitro. In Parshat Yitro, we find Yitro himself, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, who hears of the tremendous miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed for the Jewish people, and he arrives from his home place of Midian, bringing with him the wife and two sons of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitro witnesses the tremendous burden Moshe Rabbeinu is carrying in terms of leading and judging the entire Jewish nation. And he recommends to him instituting a system with tiers of under-judges who will assist Moshe Rabbeinu in the daily tasks of administering justice to the Jewish people. The parasha continues with the Jewish people encamping opposite Har Sinai, the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs them that he has chosen them to be his Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, the kingdom of priests, and his holy nation, to hold forth his banner for the rest of history. The Jewish people respond with a statement that is ours for all time. Kalashel dibir Hashem na'aseh. Everything Hashem has spoken, say they, unequivocally, we will do. On the sixth day of the month of Sivan, the Jewish people assemble at the foot of Har Sinai for the most seminal moment in our journey as Jews, for the giving of the Torah. The Jews all witness and experience through their own physical senses the thunder, the lightning, the smoke, the blast of the shofar, and the call for Moshe Rabbeinu to ascend to the top of the mountain. The Jews themselves hear the voice of God, proclaiming the Aseret Hadibrot, the Ten Commandments. This parasha contains some of the biggest moments in our history as Jews, but I'd actually like for us to focus in our conversation on a very small phrase, but one that's become tremendously important in our identity as Jews. At the start of the parasha, we find Yitro approaching Moshe Rabbeinu after a time of some absence, and we find that he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu very moved by the stories he's heard of the miracles and the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Perak Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud, that's chapter 18, verse 10. Vayomer Yitro, says Yitro to Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Hashem, asher hitzil eschem yad Mitzrayim umyad paro, asher hitzil esha'am mitachas yad Mitzrayim. We would translate literally as, blessed is God, who saved you from Egypt, who saved you from the hands of the evil king Paro, and who saved this nation from under the hand of Egypt. This phrase that begins with Baruch Hashem sounds really like the way many of us start many of our phrases throughout the course of the day. It's how we identify ourselves, it's how we talk. We are, when we meet up somebody, and how are you? For many of us, the first words that come out are, oh, Baruch Hashem, which doesn't necessarily tell anybody about our state, because it could be the best day of our lives, or perhaps one of the more difficult. But we as Jewish people, before TYH became a thing, have been preceding and ending and wrapping much of our experiences with this phrase of Baruch Hashem. And it is indeed what defines a Jew, going way back in history. We're told in Parshat Bereishit, Lamitet, Pasuk Gimel, referring to Yosef in the home of Potiphar, Vayar Adonav ki Hashem ito. Yosef's master noticed that God was with him. V'chal asher oseh Hashem matzliach biyado. And everything Yosef would do, he would find was successful, of course, because God granted him that success. Rashi points out, Potiphar knew that God was with Yosef, because Shem Hashem shagur bipiv. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was regularly heard from Yosef's mouth, and his conversation, as a model for ours, referenced and alluded and gave credit to the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every turn. Which again tells us the hallmark of a Jew, of Shem Hashem shagur bipiv. Though this phrase rolls off our tongue all the time, were we to think about it for a moment, it really should give us pause. What does it mean when we say Baruch Hashem, blessed is God? Generally speaking, when we bless someone, that indicates that we wish them well. which indicates that there's some lack or some hole that we're hoping will be filled. We bless a person to live till 120 because there's a chance they may not. We bless a person with good health because there's a chance they may be feeling otherwise. The very concept of granting a blessing indicates that there's room for lack. Clearly, that doesn't fit vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With Hashem, there is no lack. And if blessing means we're giving something to the one we bless, well, there's nothing we can actually give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there seems to be some understanding needed for, again, this phrase that rolls off our tongues hundreds of times, if not more, in a day, between our references of Baruch Hashem this or Baruch Hashem that, to even the formula within the nusach of the tefillah and the way in which we eat and interact, Baruch Atah Hashem, as we start our brachot throughout the day, what really are we saying? And for a deeper understanding of this formula of Baruch Hashem, the Rashba points out in the Chidush HaGadot on Brachot Dav Zayin that Baruch Hashem, at face value, is a statement of hoda'ah, of acknowledging that blessing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So not necessarily that we're giving it to Him, but acknowledging that it comes from Him. But not just an acknowledgement or a thanks. Because within this phrase of Baruch, we find also Lashon Tosefet V'Ribui, a statement of multiplying or increasing an abundance. The Rashba brings this idea based on what is recorded in Brachot Dav Zayin. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha records that at one point he, as the Kohen Gadol, entered Lifnai V'Lifnim, entered into the Kodesh Kedashim, to bring forward the offering of the Ktoret. Ve'amar li Yishmael b'ni b'chini. Yishmael actually heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself saying, Yishmael, my son, bless me. How does a man bless God? Amarti lo, said Rabbi Yishmael, Yiratzon milefanecha, sheyichpeshu rachamecha et kascha, v'yigolo rachamecha al midotecha, v'titnehegim banecha b'midat harachamim. The bracha, the blessing of Rabbi Yishmael at this most solemn time before God, was actually a request. It was a request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion should overcome his anger, and a request that his compassion should be the guiding midah in all of his interaction with the Jewish people. And again, how is the request in any way a blessing? They seem to be two distinct entities. But as the Rashba explains, the terminology Baruch Atah Hashem is really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may there be an increase, may multiply the abundance that you have for us. And as the Rashba says, V'goremet lirabot harachamim al briyotav. When we as Jews acknowledge that our blessings are sourced in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that actually is itself a request. Thank you, Hashem, and please can we have more? As Rabbeinu Bachye extends this idea in Dvarim Perichet Pasuk Yud, bracha, blessing literally, is related to the word brecha, a pool or a reservoir, which really presents the imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu again as the Mikol HaBracha, as the reservoir or the source of all the abundance that we need. There's a very, very large pool, so to speak, in Shemayim. And within this pool is all the greatness and the goodness and the little blessings and the large that we so much need throughout our days, throughout our lives. And we hope that this pool will overflow. It is our acknowledgement. It is our giving credit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we say Baruch Atah Hashem. That is what activates or enables the overflow, where the abundance HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in that reservoir flows over its banks and pours down upon us. This here is some of the depth in the phrase that just rolls off our tongue of Baruch Hashem. With that, it's interesting to note that a phrase that so defines the Jewish person is not as old as we think it is. Because while Yosef was a person who was recognized as Shem Hashem Shagol B'Fiv, it seems he spoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but did not necessarily use this phrase that we find here in our parasha of Baruch Hashem, as is brought in the Mechilta, and similarly in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Daled, Bignutan Shal Yisrael HaKatuv Midaber. It is actually speaking negatively of Klal Yisrael over here. Sheharei, Miyom Sheyatzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Lo Amad Echad Mehem Lomar Baruch Hashem, Ad Shaba Yitro VeAmro. From the day the Jews left Mitzrayim, when the understanding would be there were many reasons for them to say, with great emotion, Baruch Hashem, not a single Jew opened his mouth with that phrase until Yitro arrived and said these words. Now, how can that be? What's the understanding that Yitro coined this phrase that's become our own, but it was never used until then? Rav Shimon Schwab picks up this idea and points out, again as we discussed together, in Parshat Bishalach, the Jews did open their mouths and they sang a beautiful shira of sublime dimension. However, says he, shira is more appropriate for the rabbim. Song is enhanced and made more beautiful when we have many voices singing together. The phrase of Baruch Hashem is one that's appropriate not only for a crowd, but it's the phrase that is what each of us say as a yachid. In my own life, as an answer to the question you ask me, I start with Baruch Hashem. And so it seems that from the time they left Mitzrayim, the Jews as yachidim, each individual Jew, did not find within himself on his own to say these words of Baruch Hashem. And the question really is, why not? If they could sing this most beautiful song that we discussed together last week, that we hopefully keep singing, why did each individual man and woman within Klal Yisrael not find these words of Baruch Hashem bursting forth from their lips? Answers Rav Schwab, the way of the world usually is that we thank or give credit at the end of the story. Once we're safely on the other side and look back and see that the sea was split, once the trauma or the emergency is behind us and we notice we've been saved, then we look back and say, "Hoo-hoo-hoo, Baruch Hashem," once the story is over, which is indeed what happened here with Yitro. Yitro heard a story of events that had happened, and the last chapter was sealed. Whether it was the war with Amalek, whether it was the saving of the Jewish people at Kriyat Yamsuf, in all of these cases, Yitro heard of a story that was over. The final chapter was the Jews were saved. And on that, he, as an individual, said, Baruch Hashem. Klal Yisrael understood that each of these were actually not the last chapter of the story, but were really just stops on the way to the ultimate destination. Klal Yisrael understood, again, as we discussed in our introduction to this beautiful Sefer of Geula, that the story of Kriyat Yamsuf, or the story of the successful war against Amalek, was not the end of the journey. But they were in it for the ride that would culminate with Ma'amad Halsinai, and then ultimately with the Mishkan and on forward throughout history, until of course we'd be the hosts for the Shechina in a permanent way. And so because they understood the story was not over, they did not say Baruch Hashem at the end of the ride. While this is now explainable, it is still considered a lack on the part of Klal Yisrael. Because the way of a Jew is that we don't wait till the end of the day or till the end of the story to acknowledge and give thanks for where we've been. As Chazal say in Brachot Nun Dalid, Hanechnas lekrach mitpalel shtayim, achat beknisato v'achat biyatziato. A person who is on a journey and enters a particular city needs to pray twice, once when he enters the city and once when he leaves. Ben Azai says actually four times, two tefillot on entering and two when he leaves. V'noten hoda'a l'she'aval, V'tzo'eg al ha'atid lavo. And in this tefillah, the traveling, wandering Jew gives thanks and acknowledges the chesed he's enjoyed until now, and cries out to be worthy of enjoying more abundance, some more overflow from that heavenly brecha as he goes forward. As we point out, this traveling Jew has not yet arrived at his destination. The journey is not over. But a Jew doesn't wait for the last stop to say Baruch Hashem. Because whether it's the best day of my life or whether I'm feeling the heat, Baruch Hashem rolls off my tongue. I'm recording these ideas, Baruch Hashem Zocha, to be sitting in my home in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. I think it's here in Eretz Yisrael where we most experience this on a daily basis. We are the Jews we bump into everywhere in this beautiful land. Whether they look the part, or whether we wouldn't expect there to be any Jewish feeling based on how this person presents. It's the taxi driver, it's the soldier, it's the guy on the train, it's the woman at the store. Where you just open your mouth and what rolls forth right away is, Baruch Hashem, Yishtabach Shemo, Hodu Lakel. And it's the language of this place where we live. Because again, if Baruch Hashem means not just acknowledging that our greatness or abundance comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source, and in doing so, hopefully opening up that brecha, that reservoir, for further overflow. Well, when we enter the city and when we leave, when we start our day and when we end, when we meet someone we know and there's a smile, or sometimes a sigh, this formula of Yitro that again has become the defining phrase of every Jew. This formula of Baruch Hashem is the acknowledgement of the chesed that we receive that comes from Him, and the signal for God, thank you, can we please have some more?